Thank you, Charles. You've seen those Marriott hotel commercials with the slogan, "Never underestimate the importance of a good night's rest," where the tired person finds him or herself in a challenging situation without having gotten the proper sleep. Well, our baby boy came 5 weeks early. He was born just 10 days ago and moved into our home last night. So I'm having one of those moments right now. But we're all fine. I'm happy to be here. Incoming students, in this time of Facebook, Twitter, and woofing, although I think that one was just on the TV show The Office, when your thoughts can be broadcast worldwide the second you think them, I wish only that I had an audio recording of what you said as your minivan or SUV packed to the headliner angled down off the interstate onto Highway 231 this morning. What did you say to your parents and siblings? What crossed your mind as you realized you were getting close to Greencastle? Because whether your journey to this place began in Africa or Cloverdale, you had to know you were almost here. I ask because I know what I thought when the minivan carrying my shower tote and Motley Crue cassette tapes came down the ramp from I-70 in the fall of 1991. I looked at my parents seated in the front and said, "I can't do this. Turn around. I'm going home." My younger brother was in the back seat with me, and I remember him laughing. "Look at how nervous he is," he yelled. "He's going to puke, Mom. He can't take it. He can't take it." Let me interrupt my own speech for a public service announcement of sorts. New students, the other thing I remember about that day is how many mistakes my parents kept making. It was embarrassing. Looking back on it, I think they were probably doing all right. This is a tough day for parents, I've since learned. They're all going to cry as they drive back to the interstate. So be nice to them, will you? End of public service announcement. Well, no wonder I had doubts. See, I was a DePauw student, but I didn't fit in too well here, at least not initially. I came from a town smaller than Cloverdale, and I came right off the farm. I graduated 14th out of 50 kids, not from an elite prep school, but from a tiny public school in the rural community of Milan, Indiana. My mom taught first grade, my dad was a farmer and a welder. I came to DePauw when admissions was desperate and forced to take just about every student who applied. This is no longer true, by the way. If I had known more about this school and how badly I would stick out here, I would not have come. I was as green as the corn on my dad's farm. When I moved into Humbert 419, I had never attended a poetry reading, but I had held witness at a dozen tractor pulls. I had never been skiing, played golf, or traveled out of the country. The summer before I came to DePauw, my brother and I helped our dad pack a prolapsed uterus back into a cow. It'll be fun to tell my new friends this story, I thought. Well, my new friends weren't into that. My randomly assigned roommate came from a private school in Chicago. His dad had recently been on Good Morning America as the president of the Endodontist Association. My roommate was pre-med, and he already seemed smarter than most of the doctors I had met back home. On the first night he stayed up late studying the optional packet of reading material our academic advisor had passed out as suggested reading. He took notes while I was busy taping up my poison posters. I met other first years on Humbert 4, and they wanted to be doctors, dentists, and lawyers. I followed some of them into Intro to Animal Biology class, and they got A's and A minuses. while I pulled down a rock solid and respectable D for did not retain much. I told my younger brother on the phone, I'm gonna tell you what, these are some smart sons of bitches up here at DePaul. I didn't know how to study. I hadn't read enough. I'd barely spent any time looking through a microscope. But DePaul was not then, and is not now, closed to kids from less typical backgrounds. The one thing I could do as well or better than some of my peers was write. So I worked hard to write the best papers I could using my floor mate's word processor. No one had laptops in those dark days of the early 90s. I spent time with my new friends, and we figured out each other's lives. I spent a semester in London, a winter term teaching creative writing to junior high kids, and hosted the heavy metal radio show on WGRE alongside two of my new best friends. I took classes that changed my life from professors who were so good at their jobs, I couldn't wait to emulate them. When I graduated from DePaul, I wasn't a better person, but I was a more complete and fuller version of myself. While on this campus, I became who I was meant to be. 10 years after our commencement, a group of my friends and I were at Marvin's. All were back in Indiana for the alumni weekend that occurs here in early June. Looking at my friends around the table, it struck me, every single one of us was doing exactly what he had dreamed of doing while living in DePaul dorms as first-year students. It had not happened overnight, and it hadn't happened without a lot of hard work. But now Chad owned his own medical building and dentistry practice in Noblesville. Tom was a partner with a law firm in Arizona, working alongside the beefy NFL ref Ed Hockley, who happens to be an attorney. Jeff and Matt, my first-year roommate, were ER doctors in Chicago. And most unlikely of all, I was teaching in the same classrooms of Asbury where I had taken my creative writing classes. We had done it. With DePaul's help, we had made our dreams come true in uncanny fashion. Following my commencement and my time in graduate school, I returned to DePaul where I've taught for 13 years. So I know a little bit about the transformative experience that awaits you here. And I know better than anyone that DePaul can shift the very axis of the earth because that's what it did for me. In the time I've taught here, I've seen plenty of students come here great and leave even better, just as my roommate did. And I've seen an equally large number come here a little green, as I was, and leave a great deal more worldly and wise. So I've come to expect great things from you. There are things you need to understand, though. This is a very good school working to become an even better one. It's certainly a stronger institution today than it was when they accepted me. But DePaul's reputation alone cannot transform you. There are opportunities here, and I promise you will not outgrow what this school offers you. You will not get bigger than this place. But they are only that, opportunities. They are not promises or guarantees. If you intend to merely float through here and leave the same person you are today, then you can do that. But if you're here today, it means you've convinced admissions that you are not that kind of person. You are something more than a good test score, a respectable GPA, and a high class rank. We hope you are. We hope that you're someone who is willing to work. We hope that you're ready to evolve into someone fuller than you are right now. We hope you want to improve the part of the world that touches you, and we hope that you know this includes DePaul and Putnam County. So while I'm curious about what you said as you turned onto Highway 231 this morning, and feel free to woof that out into the world, know that it really doesn't matter. Whether you're scared to death or overconfident, you're all starting over right now. Beginning today, you are both a DePaul student, all caps and exclamation points, and merely a DePaul student. You have arrived at a good undergraduate institution along with tens of thousands of other talented, smart, well-groomed men and women across the planet. You've done everything, and yet you've done nothing. So who are you going to be? What are you going to do? You're here now. You'd better do something. Welcome to DePaul.